Whether you're tuned in on cable, on satellite, or on the World Wide Web, you're listening to the most talked about show on the air. From Raw to Thunder, from Nitro to Heat, get the latest SmackDown and talk live with the greatest guests, all tonight on WrestleTalk. And now, here's your host, a man who's covered the squared circle for over 35 years, wrestling fame photojournalist, Dr. Mike Lado. Time once again to say, what's up, Doc?
Okay, everybody. Doesn't have to be a Friday because Cable Radio Network on all the many CRNs replays us throughout the week. We are joined tonight by great Kamala, one of the great modern-day legends of pro wrestling. He did a lot. He was a pathfinder, brought a lot of unique character and class and dignity. And we're going to go back to James from West Virginia. You had a second question for Kamala.
Well, this was to you. Have you ever got at your thing about the Wild Side?
Oh, the Wild Side wrestling from Georgia?
Yeah.
I would definitely like to see that because Bill Behrens, who is the promoter, and he really helps New Jack a lot with things. I would definitely I could use. Do you have email, James?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe if you hang tight, I'll give you out my mailing address. It actually doesn't hurt. I'll just give out my mailing address, so you'll have it. It's 68. So, and then we got. I want to go right to Kamala's PO box. 68 Sable Point, S-A-B-L-E Point, and that's Alameda, California, A-L-A-M-E-D-A, and it's 94502. My email at AOL, just all one word, W-R-E-A-L-A-N-O, Real Lano, W-R-E-A-L-A-N-O. James, thank you, and definitely I need some Wild Side. Let's go to Michael from La Follette, Tennessee, because I would sure love to trade Japan footage or Mexico footage or historic footage for any of the Tennessee promotions. Michael, there. Michael from La Follette, Tennessee.
Hello, I have a question for Kamala.
Okay.
Who was your favorite manager?
Out of your many managers, you had all the top ones. Who was your favorite?
I would say General Skandar Egbar.
Yeah, I remember when he managed you in World Class and in Houston.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to meet Paul Bosch?
Yes, I worked for Paul Bosch.
He was, there was a lot of scumbags in terms of wrestling, as there are today, a lot of scumbags in wrestling, shadowy figures. But Paul Bosch was one of the, he was honest and classy. I think other than Sam Muchnick, there's like, you can count the number of decent people on one hand, Baba certainly from Japan. So I think he worked for like the few good promoters that there were, Bill Watts, who you said Bill Watts would sometimes give you some bonus extra money, which that really was good to hear.
Oh, yeah. Bill Watts really took care of me. He did.
Well, you took care of Bill Watts. I mean, you made these promoters wealthy.
Yeah. But Bill Watts was the only one that paid me and showed appreciation.
Well, that's something to be said for that, because Bret Hart said he may join. I guess they're... Kevin Nash has some attorney, and they're suing for royalties at WCW. But if Hulk Hogan can't get you into WWF and get some paydays as some kind of a character, even if you don't wrestle, I think WWF deserves to put some money aside for you because of the inequality. I mean, that's really criminal. If you made $13,000, the other guy made $200,000, and you guys were equally responsible for that match.
Yeah, when I made $13,000, and I saw with the Undertaker, which I think the Undertaker deserved every dime he made, which was $500,000.
Oh, $500,000.
Yeah, $500,000.
And I'm sure that wasn't the only time you got shortchanged.
Now, on the casket match, which was in Richfield, Ohio, I got $5,000 for that, and that was a pay-per-view.
$5,000?
Yeah, I got $5,000 for that, and I heard the Undertaker got over $100,000 for that one, but I don't know this for sure, but I know about the one where I got the $13,000, he got the $500,000 because I saw it on the book.
Well, you know who would tell you about that is Dutch Mantell. He knows what, he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on because he was once best friends with Mark Calloway. And I'm sure Bill Moody would tell you, it sounds, I don't know, did you hear from other, there really haven't been that many African-American wrestlers, and it was really criminal when they brought Tony Atlas in, and what the heck was that? They made him do Saba Simba. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember a little of that. I was out of the WWF at that time.
But I'm sure, you know, because he's just living in a one-room apartment, and these guys, you know, it's just as criminal. So, Kamala, give out your P.O. box because, you know, and this was my idea because a superstar like that, they would never ask, but, you know, if you want to contribute, just simply contribute because this guy gave you a lot of pleasure as an athlete. Or, you know, if you want to send him some money for a photo or an autograph, I'm going to be donating photos to him. I think it'd be an interesting book. You know, I say this to a lot of you guys because I think the book would be bought, talking about racism in wrestling as well as your career. But if you want to get some gimmicks or hopefully a T-shirt soon or whatever he might be offering, or just contact him, tell him how much you appreciate him. That P.O. Box again in Mississippi.
It's P.O. Box 533, Senatobia, S-E-N-A-T-O-B-I-A, Mississippi. Zip code 38668.
All right. Michael, any other thoughts before I let you go?
Yeah, I'll go ask him if he was ever managed by Eddie Kriegsman.
Eddie. He managed the Sheik principally, I guess, in Toronto. And
Yes, he's dead now.
Yeah, he died. And then he was in Detroit with the Sheik, too. Did you ever work Kobo with the Sheik?
No. No, I didn't.
Or I don't know if you worked for that promotion. So Bobo helped get you started, but you didn't really work in Michigan or Ohio much?
No, what Bobo done, he took me to a few matches, and then he worked out with me a little bit. And anyway, after all that snow came up there, I left and came to Arkansas. So I hadn't seen Bobo since then. During my whole wrestling career, I never saw him.
Did you know what a legend Bobo was to this business, sort of like a Babe Ruth or...
Oh, yeah, I heard a lot of the guys talk about it.
I mean, he was loved, you know, as all of you guys. We do truly respect you. Michael, I'm going to let you go. I apologize. I want to go next to Joe in San Bernardino, California. Joe, you're on with Kamala.
Hey, Kamala.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing? I'm doing well.
Good.
Is there any angle that you think was the best angle that you ever participated in your career? That was the one that just made your career?
The one with the Junkyard Dog, I would say.
Ah.
Yeah, and, I have a few of them, the one with the Junkyard Dog and the one with the Von Erichs.
Oh, yes, the Von Erichs were just, that was one of my first groups that I watched in wrestling.
Yeah, they were all great guys to work with, too.
JYD, in fact, you were on one of those outdoor stadium shows, I believe, with JYD. It was either JYD or Missing Link.
In Texas?
Yes.
Yeah, that was with Kabuki.
Oh, Kabuki! Wow. So it was the Battle of the Face Paint.
Yeah. Yeah, that was with Kabuki. It was in 1984, I think it was.
Now, wait. So who was Gary Hart managing both of you, or who was managing who?
No, Skandar Akbar was managing me there, too.
Okay, so then Gary Hart was managing Kabuki.
Right.
So that must have been... I remember that, because, of course, World Class was on ESPN every day, so... You've had an action figure. You've been on all of the major TV stations and ESPN.
Right.
Did you guys used to rib on Mark Lorenz or call him Mark behind his back? Or he was kind of.
Oh yeah, we did. Mark Lorenz. That was the announcer in Fort Worth, Texas. Yeah, we used to always do that.
And Bill Mercer was, I guess, the older commentator. And he was. You must have remembered Boyd Pierce, the most colorful announcer.
Yeah, I remember him. We were friends.
Real sweet guy.
Yeah, he passed away then.
Yeah. Now Mobile, Alabama. That's where the reunion is. I believe it's March 4th and 5th. Names like Donnie Fargo, Sputnik, Monroe, and Norville Austin. You see the fabulous ones, the Gibson brothers, Robert and Kane is there every year.
Oh, I need to see him.
And Crazy Luke Graham, legendary Crazy Luke. A lot of and Bill Watts may go to that thing too. So a lot of great names who sometimes can't always make it to Cauliflower Alley or who haven't because it's pretty far in Vegas.
Yeah.
We've got a commercial break. I want to bring you back with Kamala, and this will be real short.
Since the dawn of time, man has been fascinated with game shows. And wherever history has been made, Game Show Network was there. It was the pharaohs who understood the power of the $25,000 pyramid. The Romans, however, enjoyed the friendly competition of Family Feud, while the newlywed game was a favorite of Henry VIII and his soon-to-be headless wives. From nostalgic episodes to original interactive programming, Game Show Network keeps the world at play. Game Show Network. Why just watch when you can play?
This is Tony, the one and only in the Sports Lounge. We're on every Friday night from 11 to 12 midnight on CRN. Now, when you call the show, you'll hear about NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, hockey, boxing. We've got it all covered in the Sports Lounge. So call the Sports Lounge, 11 to 12 midnight on CRN. Baby.
We want your participation. Join us today on CRN. Give us a call toll-free from anywhere in the USA, 1-800-336-2225. Again, that number, 1-800-336-2225.
Okay, we are back. We'll probably not get to our Bret Hart taped interview or Honky Tonk Man, who really completely trashed Vince McMahon. If Kamala might want to hear the Honky Tonk Man, Wayne Ferris, completely called Vince McMahon a piece of S. Bret Hart agreeing with him. They were together when I spent like 45 minutes interviewing Bret, and then Wayne Ferris, Honky Tonk Man, came in, and they just said Vince McMahon has ruined the business. They couldn't believe I showed them the Wall Street Journal article saying business is down 38%, and stuff like that. So it's a major gamble bringing in Hall and Hogan and Nash, but I tend to think with the spotlight, and again, the USA Today yesterday in their entertainment section had a full paragraph on the historic, it really is historic, Rock meeting Hulk Hogan. And, Hogan sort of embellishes about Andre the Giant passing the torch. Andre the Giant, in many ways, was a much bigger star than Hogan. And I know Kamala, really likes Hulk Hogan, but Andre was, really, he meant a lot to wrestling, and Hulk Hogan, arguably was the greatest modern-day star in the business. He was not a gorgeous George in terms of impact, but Hulk Hogan, was the first big media star before Austin and The Rock were doing TV and movies. Hulk Hogan did it. We can't argue that, and this is going to be a very big match, and actually for the health of the business, we hope it does fabulous business and sets all kinds of amazing records, which it really should. I mean, it's going to blow away any interest in any of the other matches, which the matches are basically set. We told you Austin Hall is a definite, probably Undertaker Flair as opposed to Undertaker Nash. I don't know who Nash will meet, if anybody, at this point. And, pretty much from last weekend's No Way Out, Chris Jericho defends the title. He's now going to be seconded by Stephanie McMahon against Triple H. And, if you saw it last night, APA will challenge Billy and Chuck. And it's almost embarrassing to say, Kamala, that Vince McMahon now has a gay tag team champions.
No, I didn't know that.
He's got two guys pretending to be what WCW had tried, but Standards and Practices put the kibosh on the two guys doing a gay act. And that's in essence what Billy and Chuck are doing. And whatever, it's not my cup of tea. But our last caller, I want to just finish up with him. Did you have one more question for Kamala?
Yes, and then I'd like to give out my email address if that's possible.
Sure.
Yes, Kamala, out of Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff, which one was easier to work with?
Well, he didn't work for Eric Bischoff.
Oh, I thought he did for the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did for about 3 months, and it's hard to say which one was the easier to work for because I was with Vince for quite a while, but with WCW, I was just there for about 3 months after almost starving to death there.
So, you were, dude, they weren't paying you properly in WCW with all that money?
No, I went to WCW, and my last match, if you remember, I worked with Hogan in Daytona Beach, the Bash on the Beach, in one of the main event pay-per-view matches, and my check was $800.
Ew.
You're kidding.
It's $800.
Terry would tell you what he made for that thing.
No, you know, he probably wouldn't, but I never asked the guys what they make, because, you know.
Did he bring you, did he help bring you into WCW or talk it up and say, let's bring him in?
Yeah, he did, because he called me up and asked me, did I want to come in?
Now, that's one thing we should put Hogan over for. Love him or hate him, he is loyal to his inner clique of people, from Brutus Beefcake, Ed Leslie, to Jimmy Hart, definitely, you know, on and on, Sags and Knobs. You know, he is loyal to his friends. So I would, you know, say now at this point, I totally forgot you were in that whole Kevin Sullivan thing.
Right.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
About 3 months, that was it.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's ridiculous. So you were paid even less there. That's, you know, I hate to say it, but it almost sounds like black wrestlers, I mean, that could really make a legal case for that. That's just, obscene.
That's why Vince used to stay mad at me, because I went to the WWF about 3 or 4 times, but I stayed there for a while, and then I would just walk out because I wasn't getting paid. And I almost starved to death. So the last time I went to the WWF, Vince called me up and asked me, did I want to come back? So I said, yeah. So he said, I'm going to try to make you a lot of money this time. When I got back, he said, but only one thing, I need you to sign an agreement where I will take out 15% of your money, and if you happen to walk out, then I keep it. So I have that contract here now that I signed it.
Well, maybe... I really think, you know what, I don't know if the interest is there, but I think you too should do a book. And a friend of mine who's done our show before, Julian Shabazz, who has been on BET many, many times, he did it with Booker T and Charmel Sullivan.
Uh-huh.
He did the history, and you're on the cover of it, the history of black wrestlers.
Is that right?
But I think I'm referring him to co-write New Jack's book, and New Jack is listening to the show now. You're one of his idols.
Uh-huh.
I think if you ever did a book, he would help you write it.
Yeah, but you know, I started writing my own a manuscript. I've already started that. So.
Because you can basically just talk, like most of the guys, they talk into a tape recorder, and then somebody like this will transcribe it out. But caller, you wanted to finish up and give your email?
Yes, it's Spider Guy S. PIDERGUY 524 at hotmail.com.
All right. Well, I want to thank you. Please call in next week.
Come to an EWF show if you can, Mike.
I'm sorry?
An EWF show in San Bernardino if you can.
I will. I don't, because my dog is ill, that's why I've not been in the CRN studios, as I really wish I could, to make Paul Madrid's life a little easier. He works so hard on this show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you an email and tell you when the next show's coming up.
Great, yeah, because Southern Cal is blessed, lots of promotions. Of course, tomorrow night, XPW at the Olympic. Let's go to Frank from Palmdale with Kamala. Frank, have you got a question first for Kamala or a thought?
Yeah. I wanted to ask him, how do you feel about going back to the WWF last year at WrestleMania 17 in Houston, Texas?
That was the king of they had all the great gimmicks. How did that feel going back to WWF for that Battle Royal?
Well, since I was asked to go back to one of the biggest organizations in the world for just that one night, I didn't want to go, but I still, you know, I went on anyway. And
who called you up? Was it Paul Bearer?
No, Howard Finkel.
Oh, Howard the Fink.
Yeah, Howard Finkel. Yeah, he called me up and asked me was I interested in it, and I told him to give me a couple of days, and so I made up my mind to go. And I couldn't leave that fast. And it was good seeing all the guys, but I have such bad memories from the WWF. You know, back in, almost to starve to death and sleeping three in a room, me and Steve Lombardi and Bruno, and, you know, in order for me to live. So when I, after my match was over with, I couldn't get on that plane fast enough to get back home.
Yeah, that's a shame with your status in the business, too, because you know if you went back to Japan to maybe help out Mrs. Bob or making a you know, there'd be thousands and thousands of people who would go nuts.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the crowd is very respectful. I would say, you know, they're all pretty smart to the business.
Right.
They respect what you guys do. Wasn't it a lot more of a pleasure working there than in the States?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a lot more.
But the problem is the food portions are so small. Every time I go, I always starve, so I have to bring food over there.
Yeah, I did. I took a lot of canned goods with me when I went to Japan.
Or you have to go to the Olympiad all-you-can-eat barbecue by Shinjuku Station.
Yeah.
That's where Vader goes there all the time, Leon White.
Is that right?
Frank, another thought for Kamala? We're popping through the callers tonight.
I have this tape. It's called The Best of WCW NWO Fall Brawl, and it has Kamala on it, and he's teamed with the Dungeon of Doom against the Hulkamaniacs at Fall Brawl 95. And I was wondering if you knew how much money you made on that pay-per-view.
Didn't he say it was like only $800?
Yeah, I just made $800.
But at least, did you ever see when Abby was in there maybe a couple years before, they had some sort of goof Kevin Sullivan gimmick thing where they put Abby in an electric chair and he pretended like he was getting electrocuted. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't.
Frank, did you remember that thing?
What is it?
They put Abby, it was the three-tiered cage of doom or something, and they had all these crazy, insane gimmicks, and Abby got into an electric chair, and they had sparks flying, and he was pretending like he was being electrocuted.
I think I've seen that one, yeah.
Oh, it was one of the stupidest things I'd ever, you know. Abby is a piece of work, but he does have a good chicken and ribs place just outside of Atlanta.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
What a character. All right, Frank, let's go. Paul, have we gone to Joe from San Bernardino yet? I think we have. Let's go to Jack from Minnesota. Jack from Minnesota, I know you know your Kamala history.
Oh, it goes way back. Hi, Kamala.
Hi, how are you?
That's great. First of all, where did they bring in Friday? Was he when you first came to WWF?
Excuse me, man?
When you brought in Friday.
Yeah, what about him now?
When did they bring him in? Is that when you first came
in? Yeah, when I first came to the WWF.
But now, what was the deal? Because the Friday character turned into Kim Chi. Was that what they did?
Yeah, they changed Vince McMahon changed it to Kim Chi.
Except Kim Chi is like an appetizer that Korean people eat. Why did they name him? Why did they go from Friday to Kim Chi?
You know, I don't know, but they say it was something like a cabbage.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's stupid. It has nothing to do with Africa.
Yeah.
And why did they put? They just put a goofy looking wrestling mask on Steve Lombardi with a Dr. Livingston outfit. I didn't get, why did they do that? It made your character not scary or monstrous. It sort of made it all cartoonish.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
It was like you had a second and you had a manager. No one else had like two guys coming out with them.
No, nobody ever had that. But Vince would do things like that in order to laugh, to have something to laugh about or make a joke out of it. Vince was good at doing things like that.
I mean, I've had enough guys, and it's not pick on Vince Knight, but, you know, it is honestly a white man's business, and they would put black people in demeaning roles. Now, you had a good character, some might, you know, but whatever, but you, you know, really went to Africa, and you created and cultivated this gimmick. I would say, it sounds to me like you were more responsible for the gimmick than Frankie or anybody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I done the whole thing because I hadn't seen Frankie since I done the gimmick.
And what did Frankie say when he saw the whole gimmick laid out? Did he say, wow?
Yeah, Frankie called me up and he told me, said, you know what? I really thought you had me believing it, that you was really from Africa.
Yeah, it was something. But you know what else, Jack, now I'll go back to you, is I think you worked, too, on a pretty historic, Eddie Einhorn did the IWA back in 75, and then he came back, tried to get Vern Gagne and Jim Crockett Jr. to get along for Pro Wrestling USA, and you were on that. Do you remember that thing?
the Pro Wrestling USA.
Well, it was like a joint deal between the AWA and the NWA to fight Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I do remember something
when
like
Vince
that.
Was going national, and I think Jack, you remember that thing, and Kamala was on some of those New York shows.
Right, like,
not for, you know, maybe it was just one or two, but.
Yeah, I do remember that now.
And I'm sure a lot of the wrestlers, like Tony Atlas has said, Vince McMahon, pretty prejudiced. They'll put blacks in real demeaning roles and sit back and laugh. Well, Dusty Rhodes sometimes would do the same thing. He had Mark Mero get all dressed up like he was a black gay version of Little Richard.
Yeah.
But he never thought the gimmick would get over, and it did. But the first time he saw it, you know, it was just for his own amusement to laugh at. And,
yeah.
You know, because you'd have like a real tough guy manager, either Gary Hart or Skandar. But in WWF, I mean, it really went. You know, Freddie Blassie was fine, but then when it turned into Friday and Kim Chi and even, you know, Slick, and there
right.
was dancing. Weren't you two guys dancing?
Yeah, at the end of a match, Slick would have me try to do a little dance, but I wouldn't really dance, but I'd do something, you know, something crazy. It was something
was
I didn't one, like.
But yeah, I mean, he probably wanted to kill the gimmick. Because it would wind down. You'd been there for a while, and then you just wanted to make it so you really wouldn't be of value if you went to some other.
Exactly.
So that makes more sense as to why, which is insane. You know, why you just really kill it off. And it was sad because you had to be there when WWF was really marketed towards the kids at that
right.
point.
Yeah.
Now it's a different story because it's all like an adult sleazy soap opera.
Right.
Jack, let me shut up and go back to you.
Well, I'll tell you, I always remember Kamala his outrageous heel when he was in Still Watches Mid-South or Von Erich's World Class. I mean, his matches with Von Erich and Junkyard Dog were classics. You'll never see anything like that again. And even with Vince or anybody else, I'll never see good stuff like that again.
Yeah, it's sad that everybody's pretty much agreeing. Terry Taylor yesterday even telling me we're not going to see... the territories come back, and the territories, everybody made money, and people, I think, made more money, you know, as Kamala was saying with Bill Watts, when there was territories versus, you know, now when it's a mega millionaire company or a billionaire, because, you know, I don't know how much Vince has, but, you know, $800 paydays and this and that, it's just, that's criminal.
And I'll tell you another thing, in the WWF, I had a lot of $50
payday.
$50? A lot of 50. I had the check stubs that approved. I had a lot of 50, you know, like for night. Yeah, I had a lot of those. I was working with the Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior told me once, he said, look, sir, I know you guys ain't making no money. He said, now, and Vince had a limousine waiting on him at every airport. And he told me, sir, and I had to rent a car and all that kind of stuff. That's why I had to sleep three in a room. And so he told me, so from now on, whenever we're on the car together, we're working together, when I get to the airport, if we get there at the same time, you jump in the limousine with me because I don't have to pay for it. Vince paying for it.
Ultimate Warrior said that? That was Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah, the Ultimate Warrior told me that.
Well, then that's good because I haven't had a lot of respect for him. But if he was, making a little bit of an effort there, then that sort of brings him up in my eyes.
Yeah, he did that.
That's like blacklisting or the 50. That's going to get me too upset. That's just, now I see why you're, that's just insane because often the heel dictates the match and somebody that really never had any basic instruction, even though he started out in world class, I don't know what, you know, that was the problem when they bring in these bodybuilders out of the gym.
Right.
Well, we got a commercial break. I want to just see if you can hang just one more segment. Are you hanging in there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. We'll be right back.
The Radio Channel. The Radio Channel.
CRN. Kathy Lee Gifford for World Vision.
Imagine how you would feel if your child were sick and you didn't have any medicine to give her, or hungry and you just didn't have one morsel of food to feed him. And what if you didn't know whether they would live past their fifth birthday? As a mother, I can't even imagine how heartbreaking that would be. And yet, around the world, it happens every minute of every day. But there is something you can do to help. By sponsoring a child through World Vision, you can help provide better health care, good food, safe water, the chance to go to school, and a brighter future for a child and a whole community. Call now, won't you? And we'll send you a picture of a boy or a girl, a child you can write to, a child you can pray for.
Call World Vision at 1-800-931-6646 today and sponsor a child for only $26 a month. That's 1-800-931-6646.
You want to get the best price on your prescription drugs? If you don't have a prescription plan or you're on Medicare, then listen to this. With the People's Prescription Plan, you get the lowest prices on your prescriptions on the spot at tens of thousands of locations nationwide. Members have already saved over $80 million simply by showing their membership card. For just $7.95 a month, you can use your card for everyone in your household. There are no claim forms. Plus, your entire family can also save up to 50% on prescription eyewear. Call 1-800-826-7300 and have your credit card ready. That's 1-800-826-7300. You get full family coverage, unlimited savings, and a money-back guarantee, all for just $7.95 a month. Call 1-800-826-7300 and get the lowest price on your prescriptions. That's 1-800-826-7300. This offer is brought to you by People's Benefit Services. It's available in most states. Your actual savings may vary.
Join us. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. It's toll-free from anywhere in the USA. 1-800-336-2225. Give us a call. Join us today on CRN. 1-800-336-2225. Toll free.
Okay, we are back here with Kamala Jack from Minnesota. I think, let's ask him, I think he'd probably want to know, how did you get the name of Sugar Bear? Was that based on the cereal character, or?
Kinda, but I got it from when I was playing football, high school football, and that just was my nickname.
And so where were you born and raised?
I was born right here in Senatobia, Mississippi, and raised up in a little place about 5 miles north of here called Coldwater, Mississippi.
And do the people there, they must really, really be something. You must be the town celebrity.
Yeah, everybody here knows me, and, you know, they have a lot of respect for me, and I have a lot of respect for them, too.
Now, that's really something, staying in one area. What kind of weather? You having snow right now?
No, it's nice, yeah. Well, right now it's in the 30s, but we don't have a lot of snow. We get a little bit, but not much.
And if you're speaking of snow, have you been watching the Olympics at all?
No, I haven't.
Because that's something for African-American Black History Month. That lady, I believe she was also, was she from Mississippi? Or Alabama?
I think it's Alabama.
Who won in the two-person bobsled, which was a tremendous story. That's the first African-American athlete, male or female, ever to win at the Winter Olympics a gold medal, let alone any medal, but the gold medal.
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, Bret Hart said he is glued to the set. He can't stop watching the Olympics. No, because he's a big hockey nut.
Right.
Owns that Calgary Flames team. Jack, any other thoughts for Kamala? Or did you enjoy the Raw and SmackDown? You think that's effective?
No, it's all right, but you can't keep doing the same old stuff over because the fans will get bored. And
no, that thing with Steve Austin putting electrician's tape on Scott Hall. He did the same thing with Vince McMahon. Was carting him around, a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
You know, it's the same exact thing. If I see another heel driving an ambulance, and we've seen that like three times from Vince, where they'll load some poor baby face into an ambulance, this is not something that happened this year, and then the driver turns out to be a heel, and when the thing is sealed off, he goes and beats it up. I mean, it was very obvious that the ambulance that was destroyed was not the initial one. There was different paint markings and different colors. You really can't suspend disbelief then. Kamala, you might have been in wrestling for WWF when it was sort of a cartoon show for kids. It's too bad you missed their cartoon by a couple of years because JYD and Albano and Blassie were part of that initial cartoon with Nicolay and Iron Sheik. If
yeah, I remember that.
But I don't know. You know, so Jack, you have a big. I think The Rock and Hulk Hogan will do very, very well. I mean, that's got to be the stellar match for them.
Yeah, it might be for, you know, the first time seeing that, you know, the guy that kind of created the business and the guy.
Except,
that,
you know, they're going into that too fast. They should really tease. I mean, the territories, they would tease stuff to get people so they were stomping and couldn't wait, and months and months and months till they put some people together. The NWO hasn't even been in there a week, and they already have the stellar match, which will be more interesting than Austin Hogan. They're already putting that on. So once they do Austin Hogan, you know, that's what they're doing. They hotshot this stuff, and that's why they spent all this money, $1 million on Hulk Hogan. So he's got a guarantee of $1 million before any of his other downside kicks in, and then $700,000 apiece for the two pieces of trash, Hall and Nash. You know, they're hot-shotting it to where it's. I mean, they're going to have blown their wad, and then what can they do then with these three guys? And you know, Brett wanted to shoot down the rumor that Gene Okerlund had. He said Vince McMahon could offer him any amount of money, and he ain't going back. So he said, you know, Vince may need him bad for his ratings. He may want to, you know, pay millions for a Brett versus Vince match, but he said it ain't going to happen in his lifetime. He told me tonight personally, and I spent the whole day with him, picking him up at the airport with Kirk White, that he will not, in fact, ever return to WWF. He said his family's been torn apart. He lost his brother because of the WWF. He just recently lost his mother, Helen Hart, and he's also bitter about wrestling, but he's making these autograph shows because he's trying to sock money away for his kids. Kamala, do you have some children?
I just have four stepchildren. They all grown.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Jack, I want to thank you, my friend from the Internet. Anything else exciting TV-wise? Did you watch Florida Wrestling on cable tonight?
Yeah, it was all right. It was as bad as last week. You know, nothing spectacular.
And there's not going to be any Ring Lords wrestling.
Nope, I guess not. That's somebody meant to screw up.
What a disappointment.
But I might give you a call on Sunday to let you know how the pay-per-view goes.
Yeah, please do, because that's major, WWA and Pride. Two pay-per-views going head-to-head, and thankfully they're not WWF. So there are choices. There are alternatives. That's the one and only Jack, the Indie King. Let's go to Jay from Louisville, Kentucky. You're on with Kamala.
I'm sorry, but he hung up, but we do have Jamail from Lancaster, California, and let's see, we also have, Jamail from there. Buddy's back, and he has some other words for you, but right now we also
let's go to Jamail, if Jamail is still with us. Jamail, are you there? Jamail from Lancaster.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Mike?
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Kamala?
Hello?
Yeah, Kamala.
Huh.
I just want to ask you, who was your toughest opponent?
Who was your toughest opponent?
I would say, you know, it's kind of hard to say because there's a few of them, but I would say Bret Hart.
Bret Hart?
Yeah, I would say Bret Hart.
And how does it feel to be the first casket match ever?
How to
be in that? And that was well crafted. They took weeks to do that. The very first casket match. How did that feel doing that?
Oh, it was kind of. It was weird. I didn't want to do it, but I was a little leery. But you know, it was part of the job, so I went on and done it anyway.
Yeah, it's like but at least you were reunited. You had some fun moments with Paul Bear. Was it fun to see him there after all those years?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's a real Undertaker.
Yeah, that's how they crafted it. Well, they say the best angles and gimmicks are created from real life.
Right.
And, you know, yours was too, because you were over there in Africa. You really, did you see, I don't know if you went to South Africa, but apartheid, you know, just really incredible, because Africa is Africa, but in South Africa, a small group of white people were running the show until Nelson Mandela and everything got apartheid overturned.
Yeah. No, I didn't go to South Africa. I was in Kenya, in Nairobi, and that's where I lived, and I lived in Zimbabwe.
Kamala? Hulk Hogan as a face or a heel?
I like him as a face.
Yeah, he's like the ultimate baby face.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Have you ever seen him? You've seen him in his heel characters, you know, maybe a couple of years ago. Yeah, and, you know, actually he was, his first manager was before Jimmy Hart was Freddie Blassie.
Yeah, I remember that when he first went up there.
He had all that chest hair. He wasn't shaving his chest. And the photos I showed Jerry Lawler photos of him wrestling his first week. He tells Jim Ross, he goes, look at these photos. That was before I start shaving my back. You didn't have to mess with any of that stuff.
Oh.
No steroids, all that crap. And, you know, that was a big problem, as I was saying, because I don't know what the deal was, but and it might have come, you know, Vince's turn-on with big steroid, you know, huge cartoonish Marvel comic bodybuilder types. That might have come from Fritz, because, you know, I mean, Kerry Von Erich had a magnificent body, but a lot of that's genetics. It's got to be genetics first, and then Hellwig, Ultimate Warrior. But, you know, the problem was the folk, you know, those guys can't do anything. A guy with a dumpy body like Harley Race could go a legit 90 minutes, or a Dory Funk Jr., you wouldn't write home about their body, but they could entertain you for hours.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And did you ever work with Harley Race?
Yeah. Yeah, I worked with him quite a bit.
All right, Kamal, I want to ask you one question before I go.
Okay.
What do you think about the WWF superstar today?
What do I think about the WWF superstar today?
Yeah.
But he's not really watching it. He's...
Yeah, I don't really watch it. Every once in a while, my grandchildren watch it, and I come in, and I look at it a little bit with them. But it has changed a lot since I was there in 93.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Chevelle. Hey, thank you. You definitely call back. We always welcome your call.
By the way,
Mark, you remember Ray Candy?
Yeah, he was my tag team partner in Louisiana for a while.
And we really miss him, but I remember he came out to some great jazz music. I mean, you know, the music thing, I think, and of course started really with Gorgeous George and Buddy Rogers,
uh-huh.
Grew up the name of a great legend.
Right.
But then it sort of laid dormant until Leroy Brown, bad Leroy Brown.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he was a legend, you know, as well. You reminded me in some ways of him, big, mm-hmm. huge, giant guy.
Right.
Jim Ross would say soup bones and all that stuff. What are your thoughts on Jim Ross? Did you see him as trying to absorb a lot of Bill Watts' knowledge or... You know, Jim Ross, when he was there and he was doing announcing, but he was backstage a lot.
Yeah. You mean absorb a lot of his Bill Watts knowledge?
Yeah, just in terms of, I mean, Bill Watts trained at the foot of Roy Scheider, Eddie Graham, Vince McMahon Sr., Jack Tunney, you know, the greatest, and Vern Gagne, too. So, you know, the great minds of wrestling.
Uh-huh.
And he's walking around with all this knowledge. And Jim Ross seems to have absorbed a lot of it in terms of... you know, he always wins the award each year for the best commentator, and
he learned a lot from Bill Watts. Because to me, Bill Watts was one of the smartest promoters, and he knew how to. Like you were saying a while ago, they rushing Hogan and Rock into this thing. Bill Watts would take his time, and he would tease, and he would. That's how he drew so much money for so long.
Exactly, and. A lot of the guys like Michael Hayes and Buddy Roberts of the Freebirds, even the late Terry Gordy said, they love working for Bill, great paydays, you know, huge crowds, wrestling done properly.
Right.
Bill was very tough. He was like an army sergeant.
Right, he was. And you wouldn't see a heel and babyface riding together or in the same dressing room together.
Yeah, none of that, you know, because that's the problem today. Well, Vince kind of blew it in 87 when, you know, he just exposed the business. It's, you know, it's just, I mean, he exposed it publicly. I mean, everybody knew, but then when you go out and you just, you know, he doesn't even like calling it wrestling. He calls it sports entertainment.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's wrestling. If you don't want to be a wrestling promoter, get out of the business.
Yeah, that's right.
It's wrestling. And Bill Watts with Boyd and Jim Ross doing commentary stuff, I mean, it felt like real sports.
Yeah, I know.
And I think you were proud, probably more proud to be part of it then than, you know, I guess we call it the circus, really.
Yeah, I was a lot more happier with Leo Watts than I was when I went to the WWF.
I think you came in at different points for a little while because the paydays weren't that great, but what were your thoughts on Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett? Were shrewd guys? They certainly knew the business, but I know they weren't great payday guys.
No, because when they first brought me there, they were down to about 300 or 400 people. And so when they brought me in, it went up to a sellout that very next Monday night when they brought me in with the gimmick. And I think I got $600 for that. And after that, I would say because a black man was doing all that, had that much drawing power there in Memphis, they brought Plowboy Frazier in as Kamala too within a few months just to kill me. And he had been there as everything, and they brought him in to, and all of a sudden he couldn't speak no English, and he was Kamala too.
You're kidding.
Yes.
Plowboy Frazier, the white guy?
Yeah, they brought him in as Kamala too.
Oh, that was insulting. If they feel threatened, which is like insane, because now, you know, the most powerful guy, at least in terms of as a wrestler, is The Rock.
Right.
You knew his dad, Rocky Johnson.
Yeah, I know Rock too. I remember Rock when he was 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and his dad and I, we had a few matches together and a few tag matches together.
He wrestled back in 64, and he said his greatest thrill was his first night working in Madison Square Garden. Was that a big thrill for you, working
in
that building?
Yes, it was. I had long heard of Madison Square Garden, and I got a chance to wrestle in it. Me and Hogan, we sold it out back-to-back, and they said it. I heard them, some of the guys said that record hadn't been broke yet, you know, for two, you know, guys like Hogan and I.
So I think you're unique in that you've worked in every major wrestling venue in the world.
Yeah, I have.
The Louisiana Superdome, which is, you know, I mean, very prestigious. Madison Square Garden, the greatest arena in the world. Corken Hall.
Right.
Did you work the Tokyo Egg Dome?
I can't remember working that.
I think you did work that because you were on that show with Stan Hansen. We haven't talked yet about Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody all that much, but how about Stan Hansen? You spent a lot of time with him over there.
Yeah, I was on the card with him, but really I don't know a lot about Stan. The little talk that I done with him, he was a nice guy. That's all I know about him.
How many trips to Japan did you figure you made? Like 50 or 60, something like that?
Over the years, yeah, probably so.
Wow.
Yeah, around there.
Now, Baba, you knew if Baba told you something, he was good with the money, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. You don't have to worry about the money when you go to Japan. Because whatever he tells you you're going to get, you're going to get it, and you get it in cash.
Wow, that's very rare. Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people, like they say, Paul Bosch and Baba, really, there weren't that many great promoters, honest ones. Sam Muchnick, I don't know if you got a chance to ever meet Sam or work with him. But
no, I didn't. I heard of him, but I never did meet him.
He was honest, non-prejudiced. He didn't care what color you were. You made him money and you worked, you know, did things right. That was all he cared about.
Right.
Let's see, Paul, who do we have next? Jay from Louisville, Kentucky?
Yeah, we got him back. We lost somebody, got him back. We also have Sammy from Lafayette, Tennessee. But then James from Fairmont, West Virginia had a question. He wanted to know if Bill Boberg is going to the WWF.
No, he's still, you know, finishing out whatever's left of his 2 years. Let's just pop on some callers. Tell me who they are. Well, let's just go to them quickly before. You know what, Kamala, you are going to equal Bruno Sammartino's record for staying on the show the whole time.
Is that right?
That's pretty good company.
Oh, well, good.
Bill Alfonso and the great Bruno Sammartino, who really was, you know, class for the WWF before they lost it all.
Yeah.
Paul, who do we have next?
Well, let's go to Jay from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, Jay, you're on with Kamala.
Oh, how you doing, Kamala?
Good. How you doing, Jay?
Okay. I remember you from way back in the 80s at Louisville Gardens every week.
Yeah.
And I have to say that you did scare me. You know, but I'm older now, and I want to ask you, with the gimmick that you had back then and now, did you ever had to deal with any racism from the other boys?
Only somebody I had was Andre the Giant. And that was the first time I ever worked with him. But, you know, I don't know if you heard about it or not, but we got to fighting in the ring, and it was for real. The first match. And after that, Andre and I got along real good in the ring.
Now, what was the heat? What was the problem?
We couldn't get to one another and talk and, to, you know, to discuss our match and something in the ring that I didn't do. But I told him the people didn't know. And we got to fight, and I drove him back into the corner. It scared him, I think, because he didn't think I was fighting. But I was fighting for real.
Attention pet owners, no more driving around calling your lost pet's name or putting signs on poles. Now your best friend can speak when you're not there. Presenting the Pets Talk Talking Collar. Chosen one of the best products of the year by Dog World Magazine, the Pets Talk Collar has a permanently attached 20-second recorder. Record your name, home, and cell numbers to help your pet's rescuer reach you fast. Traveling or moving, your message is easier to change than an answering machine. Grab a pen. Here's how to order. Call toll-free 1-877-451-0138 and order your Pets Talk Talking Collar for just $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Or order on our website at www.pets-talk.com. Plus, for a limited time, order additional Pets Talk Collars for just $19.95. Save $10. What a great deal. What a great gift. Don't wait. Call 1-877-451-0138. That's 1-877-451-0138 and get the best protection money can buy for your pet and all the pet lovers in your life.
Okay, well, who's next? Kamala, we only have a couple minutes left. Buddy Huggins wanted us to mention MidSouthWrestling.com for all the historic great memories of Mid-South, UWF, everything that Bill Watts did. That's MidSouthWrestling.com. He says it's gotten over 500 hits. Just Kamala being on our show alone the last 2 hours. Let's go to Sammy from La Follette, Tennessee. Sammy, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, Sammy, very quickly, your question or thoughts for Kamala?
Yeah, I was wanting to know if he ever wrestled with Thunderbolt Patterson.
That's a guy that I always wanted to meet, and I never met him.
He used to be one of my favorites.
He's a Bearcat Ray, big activist, and if they thought the black people were getting mistreated, they took legal action and they spoke their mind.
Right.
He was a good wrestler.
Yeah.
He cut promos. That was, we told the Dusty Rhodes, when he first turned face in Florida, he told Eddie Graham, you don't need Tebow Patterson around here, I'll be your black wrestler.
Uh-huh.
And all his shtick, he did, but, I mean, Tebow Patterson, you guys remember him, all the different places he worked, Los Angeles. He was a world champion, and that's one thing I'm proud of. The territory I worked mainly and home-based out of, Cal Eaton and later Mike LaBelle, they were not prejudiced. Bobo Brazil was world champion for their WWA many, many times, Bearcat Wright, Siki, Armand Hussein, who worked for Fritz von Erich later, Sonny King was a champion there. You know, Rocky Johnson was world champion. Earl Maynard, Earl the Pearl. So a lot of great African American athletes. Who are some people, I guess, that you would consider friends? I don't know if you're friendly with DiBiase and Ernie Ladd. But who would you consider friends, or people that you like? I mean, we lost Terry Gordy. I don't know how much time you spent with him in Japan, but he was over there.
Yeah. Terry was all right, and a guy that I really liked was Jesse Ventura.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked him when I was good. He was kind of laid back, and Big John Studd, guys like that, you know, besides Hogan.
I hope that you talk to Hulk Hogan in a couple of days. You know, he does TV Monday and Tuesday, but I think they need NWO Kamala, and you know, maybe you could manage those guys or something, or create some trouble, or maybe put Vince McMahon in a pod and stew him, like the stereotype of people in Africa, the cannibals. Well, I think everybody would love to see Kamala standing over Vince McMahon, stewing in a pot, all tied up and ready to be boiled.
Yeah. I would be glad to do it and hope I would have a good contract.
It'd be kind of tough. You'd have to cook him for
that would be the main thing.
St. Sammy, any other thoughts for Kamala?
That's about it. You wrestled Ostinato, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I wrestled him.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah, I wrestled him a few times.
Let's give out that website one more time, because, you know, really, you guys are the ones, I suggested this back in 85, The Observer, wrestler fans and friends contributing money to for a wrestler's retirement. So Kamala gave you some pleasure. Here's your chance to give back, or if you want to order a photo or picture or T-shirt or whatever, but what's the P.O. box for people to get a hold of you? Or if you're a promoter with an autograph show booking, maybe on a weekend that doesn't conflict with his job.
It's P.O. box 533, Senatobia, Senatobia, Mississippi, zip 38668.
All right, that is the Ugandan headhunter, the great Kamala. Never, I don't believe, ever talked, you know, Abby just once a year for All Japan would say Happy New Year, something like that, but I don't think Kamala has ever spoken before, and he has done that and more on our show, very eloquent, and, you know, really a guy who entertained as an athlete, and this was a real credit to the business, and, you know, Bret Hart, really, you know, got a little weepy. Goes, oh, gee, I haven't talked to Kamala in a long time. You tell him. And Honky Tonk Man, too. You know, they really respect you. You can tell the respect is there.
Yeah, they all great guys, too.
And yeah. I'm sure Jesse Ventura, too. So we just want to thank you. I speak for all of our listeners. We want to thank you for all the years you've entertained us. And, you know, you really put your body out on the line. Because, you know, at any point you could become paralyzed from a lot of that stuff. And I think everybody thanks you for all the years of enjoyment and entertainment and athleticism.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Well, thank you so much. I want to thank all of you callers. So get out there and support Kamala. You never know who we're going to have here on Wrestle Talk. I want you to stay tuned for Sports Lounge. Tony, is Tony there, Paul?
Yes, he is. He's coming right over.
Tony, I want you to tell your listeners we don't have any heat. And my dog is on its last legs, but when my dog passes away, I'll come to 500 miles down there and meet you and do our show right in the studio. But I want to thank Kamala, a real gentleman, for being on our show. He equaled Bruno Sammartino's record of doing the whole show, and that's something to be said. And the WWA and Pride pay-per-views are this weekend. And stay tuned for the Sports Lounge with Tony. It's all coming up next. We'll see you next Friday right here on Wrestle Talk. And everybody have a great weekend and enjoy the Olympics.
And, Mike, we have no heat. You know that.
Okay, I do that.
Come on. I mean, I love the new NWO. I'm pumped up about it. And you had the legend, Kamala.
I got to tell you, John Gruden lost the loser leave town match up here.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
All right, wrestling fans, this is Buddy Huggins, and I will like to thank you for tuning in.